Now we reach a very good moment hearing from the Lord. I'm going to invite the servant of God, Brother Jeremiah, for the word. He'll be praying for the word also. Most welcome, brother. Could you appreciate him as he's coming? Thanks.
Thank you. Would you please rise up on your feet? Before I pray, I want us to read God's word. And we are going to read in Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. We are going to read from verse 31 to 35. Matthew chapter 26, 31 to 35. This is what it says. Then Jesus told them, "This very night you will fall away on account of me, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. 32, but after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Peter replied, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. Truly, I tell you," Jesus answered, "this very night, before the cock crows, you will disown me three times." But Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the other disciples said the same. The second passage of scripture that you are going to read from is Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 14. Acts chapter 2, verse 14. It says, "Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd, 'Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say.'" We are going to jump and read 38 to 41. 38 to 41 of Acts chapter 2. 38. It says, "Peter replied, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call.' With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, 'Save yourselves from this corrupt generation.' Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day." This is the word of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to be in your presence this morning. It's really an honor and a privilege to get to hear from you. And so, Lord, this morning we pray that your Holy Spirit may enlighten our mind so that we may be able to grasp the things that you want to speak again through me. Father God, we pray for this moment. We pray that it may be blessed by you and that we may come out of it guided by you and enlightened and with more clarity and with more hope in what you are doing and in what you will do in our lives. Bless this moment. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. We may be seated. Good morning again. As I said, it's really a joy and a privilege for me to be the one appointed to speak to you on this special day of the Pentecost. Amen. So as you know, last week we started a new series of teaching. And this series of teaching is about how to live as, how to set a positive example in the covenant. How to live as positive example in the covenant that we have with God. And last week, our pastor gave us the example of Noah. Noah as someone who lived in a way that is blameless in a corrupt world. Amen? He lived in a way that is blameless in a corrupt world. But when we hear stories about people like Noah, we might feel like this must be really, really hard and even impossible. How can you live blameless in a corrupt world? Because the tendency for all of us as human beings is to follow the crowd, right? It's to follow the crowd. It's to follow the culture. I don't know if you've been online and you've seen this video. I mean, it was trending at some point. It's a video about a prank, a walking prank, you know. Someone was just walking and then he pretended that he saw something dangerous and then he started running. And all the people who were behind him also started running. I hope you saw that video because it is very easy to be influenced by the crowd. It is very easy to follow the crowd. And so when you hear stories of people like Noah, we sometimes feel inadequate. We sometimes feel like this life seems impossible to us, right? It is very easy for us to also conform to the way of the world that we live in. In Congo, we have a say that, you know, this country has been this way for a long time. Why do you think that you are the only one who can change it? That's what you usually say to people who try to live differently. And so with fear, we can also tend to say, okay, it seems like whatever I'm doing right now, whatever difference I'm trying to make right now is not going to work out. Let me just conform to the ways that I found here. Amen? So it's very easy to be followed or to be influenced. It's very easy to be influenced by the crowd. And one of the people that we are going to learn from today is Peter. Peter, who gives us the theme for this morning, and the theme for this morning is empowered to by the Holy Spirit to live as positive examples. Empowered by the Holy Spirit to live as positive examples. You know, Peter was one of the closest disciples of Jesus Christ. He was a very strong-willed person. He was a very outgoing guy, you know. He was even the one who was the spokesman of the disciple. If there was something that the disciple needed, it was Peter who went to Jesus and asked him question. If it was about interpreting the parables, it was Peter who will come to Jesus and tell them, what does this parable mean? He was a very strong-willed person. He was a very zealous disciple. You remember that Peter is the one who asked Jesus, Master, if it is you, please ask me to come so that I can join you. And Peter also started walking on water. Very outgoing person. But unfortunately, he wasn't strong enough to not fear the waves that were coming to him. And so he started sinking. That was Peter for you. Peter was also the guy who, you know, when Jesus was about to be arrested in John chapter 18, they give us the precision that it was Peter who cut the ear, right? The ear of the high priest's servant. So Peter was a very zealous and outgoing guy. That's the passage that we just read in Matthew. When Jesus was announcing that he's about to die, he's going to be betrayed and he will die, and all of them will forsake him, Peter was like, no way. Me, Peter, I will never, never forsake you. Everyone else will do that, but me, I will never do that. That was Peter for you. But later on, we read in the scripture that he ended up not only forsaking him, he ran away, but he denied him. And he denied him not only one time, not only two times, but three times. Three times. And from Peter, we draw our first lesson for this morning. The first one is that no amount of self-confidence and willpower is enough to make us efficient in our God-given calling. No amount, let me repeat that. No amount of self-confidence and willpower is enough to make us confident in our God-given calling. We have this self-confidence. Peter had self-confidence. Peter had willpower. He wanted to do things, but that was not enough for him to become the apostle that Jesus wanted him to be in the future. We can see that in the inconsistency of Peter's life. One time he professes that Jesus is Lord, and another time Jesus rebuked him and say, God behind me, Satan, right? Because Peter was trying to deny God's plan for Jesus. God's plan through Jesus. When Jesus was announcing that, yes, I'm going to Jerusalem and I'm going to die, but after 3 days, I'm going to raise again. Peter was like, no, Master, this is not going to happen. And Jesus told him, get behind me, Satan. The same Jesus who professed that you are the Christ, the one we were waiting for. So Peter was inconsistent. He was not a straight guy. One day he's like this, the other day he's another person, right? Because he was inconsistent. He was also fearful and unfaithful. He promised Jesus that he will never forsake him, even if everyone else did. But Peter, just a few hours later, denied him three times. I said that in my introduction. So Peter was not only inconsistent, he was also fearful. He was also unfaithful. Because it was fear. Every time these people were asking him, "You are one of Jesus' disciples. Why do you think Peter was trying to hide?" I think it was because of the fear that was in him. Oh man, I'm also going to be caught up. I'm also going to be arrested. So because of fear, he denied. He said, no. You are mistaken. I'm not one of those disciples. I'm not one of those disciples. And this is very real. You know, sometimes when you hear stories about people like Noah, we feel like these are superhuman beings. But the Bible is so rich that it gives us also account of real people, right? Real people like Peter's, who had their own shortcoming. Peter was not this perfect guy. He was not this strong guy who will do everything perfectly. We see in his development that Peter had some work to do. He had some issues that needed to be fixed in order for him to be the disciple, the apostle that we hear about. Amen? The apostle that we hear about. And so this can bring us hope, because I'm sure in our walk with Christ, there have been times when we were not really proud to say that I belong to this community. I belong to this Jesus Christ. There are people who you find yourself in a certain setting and you decide to mingle because you are afraid of what people will think when you declare that you are a Christian. There are people who have hidden their witness. They don't want to evangelize because they are afraid about what people will think because of fear. And there are also other people who live in fear. Literally, they live in fear. Just like Peter was afraid to say clearly that he was one of Jesus' disciples. So the Bible is rich enough to give us stories of real people like Peter. Peter was not only a person who was inconsistent. He was not only a person who was fearful and unfaithful. He was also a person who was impulsive. He made quick decisions, just like he cut the ear of that high priest's servant, right? The Bible says in John chapter 18, verse 10, that Peter drew his sword and cut the high priest's servant's ear. It may be time. There are times when we are impulsive as well, right? We react in the flesh instead of being led by the Spirit, right? I was hearing about a song from a musician, and he's saying that, "Try Jesus, not me." I don't know if you understand that saying. He's saying, "Try Jesus, not me." Because, you know, if you touch me or if you touch one of my relatives, you know, I might act more like Peter than Jesus. You know, I might beat you or I might cut something from you. Because that's what impulsion does to us. We act quickly. We react in a way that is impulsive and brutal sometimes. And that was Peter for you. But one of the good news that we can see in the story of Jesus is that just as God is patient with us in our inconsistency, God, Jesus, was also patient with Peter. He was developing him. God sees us in our inconsistencies and still pursues us with love and faithful guidance. And he is even ready to restore us. You read in Luke how Jesus was telling Peter, "Yes, you are going to fall, but when you will come back, you are going to strengthen your brother." Because Jesus saw Peter in his inconsistencies, but he was still patient with him. He was still patient with him. And even later in John chapter 21, we see Jesus restoring Peter. When he does that miracle of the great catch of fish, Jesus also takes that time to restore Peter as an apostle and as a disciple. So when we read about Peter in his inconsistency, in his fear, in his unfaithfulness, in his impulsiveness, if I can say that, we understand that what I said is really true, that no amount of self-confidence and willpower is enough to make us efficient in our God-given calling. We need something more. We need something more. And that's the miracle of the Pentecost. Amen? Because 50 days after Jesus rose from the dead, it was in the Jewish culture what they call the Feast of the Weeks. Amen? Because it's 7 weeks after the Passover, the Jews had another feast that they called the Feast of the Weeks. And because it was 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that's where we get the word Pente. Because in Greek, Pente is 50, right? And so the Pentecost is good news for us because we understand that in the inconsistency, you know, in our inconsistency, the fact that our self-confidence and willpower is not enough, God does what? God sends the promise, Holy Spirit. And that's my second point this morning, is that we need the Holy Spirit. Very simple. We need the Holy Spirit. Can you tell your neighbor, you need the Holy Spirit? You need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, and we sing it in songs, that's not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit. Amen? But by my Spirit. Jesus did not leave us helpless. The third person of the Trinity was sent to empower us to do this work and live as his faithful witnesses. Amen? The Lord knows that we live in a very complicated world. Because when Jesus talked about the upcoming Holy Spirit, it was in John chapter 16, where the disciples were, you know, in that room during the Last Supper, and they were grieved. They were saddened to hear that Jesus was about to leave them, that Jesus was about to die. But Jesus promised that I'm going to send a helper. I'm going to send a helper. And that one, he's going to walk with you. He's going to be as close with you as I was. Amen? He's going to be as close with you as I was. Let's read John chapter 14, verse 16. This is what it says. John chapter 14, verse 16 says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. Another advocate. Advocate can also be translated. You know, the original word that is translated by advocate here can also be translated as helper, can also be translated as comforter. You know, one who is really close to guide you. Amen? So the Holy Spirit is close. He's sent to us to be close to us just as Jesus was close to his disciple. Amen? So Jesus knows that as we live in this corrupt world, very complicated world, and that we are not enough on ourselves to live the way he wants us to live, we need the Holy Spirit. And on Pentecost Day, the Holy Spirit came down. The Holy Spirit came down. And what are some of the things that the Holy Spirit does in the life of the believers? We can see that in the life of Peter. Because as we have just read in Acts chapter 2, we see that the same Peter who was inconsistent, who was fearful, who was unfaithful, who was impulsive, under the power of the Holy Spirit, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, Peter was empowered to do God's work. Peter was bold. We saw his boldness because he was the first one after the coming of the Holy Spirit, the descent of the Holy Spirit, to open his mouth and speak and tell these people who are there that we are not drunk. We are actually filled with the Holy Ghost of God. And you need to hear this good news that Jesus that you killed is the Messiah from God. Amen? So Peter became bold because of the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. We later on read in Acts chapter 5 verse 15 that Peter grew in such power and influence that people were bringing sick people just so that the shadow of Peter will do that, will heal them. The shadow. Can you imagine that kind of power? Only the shadow of Peter, just because he passes by a sick person, that person gets well. The shadow. Powerful, amen? Because the Holy Spirit empowers us to do God's work. The Holy Spirit gives us boldness and authority. The Holy Spirit gives us boldness and authority. When Jesus was arrested and he's in front of this high priest, you know, these are scholars of the law. And they were all astonished to see that Peter, who was a fisherman, who was unschooled, amen? can speak with such power and authority. And the Bible tells us that these people were astonished. They were amazed to see that ordinary guys like Peter could speak with such boldness and authority, because that's what the Holy Spirit does in the life of the believers. He gives us the ability to speak with boldness and authority. Acts chapter 4, verse 8. Let us read that passage. Acts chapter 4, verse 8. This is what it says. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this." You see how Peter is speaking with authority. And later on, we hear now from this high priest how they are astonished to see ordinary people like Peter, fishermen. Verse 13 of Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4 verse 13 says, "When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that this man had been with Jesus." They were astonished because these were unschooled and ordinary men. The Holy Spirit uses ordinary people like us to do great things, many things, great things that astonish people for the glory of Christ. So the Holy Spirit gives us boldness on authority. The Holy Spirit also guides us in the truth and reveals us the mind of God. You know, Jesus said that this Holy Spirit will guide you into the truth. Amen? He will guide you into the truth. And that's why people who are unschooled like Peter could speak the things of God with such boldness, without even hesitating, because the Holy Spirit was with them, whispering the truth from God. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 to 10. This is what it says. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 to 10. It says, "What, however, it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him, these are the things that God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God." Because that's what the Holy Spirit does in the life of the believers. He guides us into the truth and reveals to us the mind of God, the things of God. Amen? It's not about education only. It's good to be educated, but it's even better to be dependent on the Holy Spirit. To be dependent on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us the capacity to endure suffering and comfort us. In Acts chapter 12, verse 6, we read about Peter who was arrested and he was in prison. And the Bible tells us that Peter was sleeping the day before his trial. How can you sleep when you know that the next day you may be executed? But Peter was sleeping. He was very calm. And these are things that the Holy Spirit does in us. He gives us the capacity to endure suffering and comfort us. That's why he's called the Comforter. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Let's read that as well. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Romans chapter 16, verse 13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." So that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us the capacity to endure suffering because it gives us the hope. It's help us to be overflowed with hope by its power. Amen? Another thing that we can see is that the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses and in our prayers. That's when we read it in Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27, where the Bible says that we do not know how to pray, but the Holy Spirit, with groaning, right? It intercedes for us and somehow translates our prayers before God. Amen? The Holy Spirit does that. And lastly, what we can see, this list is not exhaustive. There are so many other things. Another thing that you can see is that the Holy Spirit shapes and molds us into Christ-likeness. The Holy Spirit shapes and molds us into Christ-likeness. If we read in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 25, Paul speaks about walking the flesh and speaks about the works of the flesh and walking in the Spirit. He says, walk in the Spirit and you will not do the works of the flesh. And then he goes on and gives a list of fruit of the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that you can see about the fruit of the Holy Spirit is that they are not actions. None of those fruits is an action. Let's read Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 25. Galatians chapter 5, it says, let me just read verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passion and desire. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. The fruits of the Holy Spirit are not actions. They are not action. Because being shaped by the Holy Spirit is more about our attitude than our actions. Being shaped by the Holy Spirit is not about doing things. Because we sometimes speak that when people are proactive, they are busy doing things, it's then that they are empowered by the Holy Spirit. No, being shaped by the Holy Spirit is also and mostly about being. It's about attitude. And what is attitude? I love this quote from John Maxwell. Let me just read to you this quote from John Maxwell as I conclude my sermon this morning. John Maxwell says, what is attitude? Attitude is the librarian of our past, the speaker of our present. It is a prophet of our future. Its roots are inwards, first of all, inside. But its fruits are outward. The fruits are for the people who are out there. It is our best friend and our worst enemy. Your attitude can make you or break you. It is more honest and more consistent than our words. Our attitude is more honest and more consistent than our word. You can speak many things, but only your attitude will show that indeed this person is a person of integrity. It is an outward look based on past experience. It is a thing that draws people to us or repels them from us. Your attitude can either draw people to you or repel them from you. So these fruits of the Holy Spirit are about our attitude and not our action. In conclusion, let me conclude this. We receive the Holy Spirit when we believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. But as Paul says in this passage of Galatians, he says in verse 25, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Because it is one thing to receive the Holy Spirit, it is another thing to keep in step with the Spirit. To keep in step with the Spirit is to let the Holy Spirit guide us, is to remain in fellowship with Him. Many today seek the Holy Spirit for the gift instead of cultivating a relationship with Him. And that's why Paul could conclude 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. This is how we conclude our services, right? Let me just read it as I conclude my sermon as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. He says, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. When he speaks about the Holy Spirit, he talks about fellowship. Because the Holy Spirit is a person that we must fellowship with. We must cultivate that life of being in sync with the Holy Spirit, taking time to listen from Him, taking time to let Him guide us. Amen? So let me conclude again and say, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Can we appreciate again the word of God, please? Thank you so much, Brother Jeremiah, for this powerful word.